Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to today's meeting. We would first like to acknowledge that we are joining you today from the territories of the Tanaha Nation. We are grateful for their stewardship of these lands. My name is Linda Tynan. I am one of the commissioners and a local government advisor. And I'd like to introduce my fellow commissioners. On my left, we have Justice Nitcha Iyer of the Supreme Court of British Columbia and Chair of the Electoral Boundaries Commission. And on my right, we have Anton Bogman, Commissioner, and the province's Chief Electoral Officer. I'm not sure how much Chad let you know when you came in. We just had some issues with our logistics as we tried to arrive, so we usually have some maps available and some presentation material that's not up right now, and so we will be using iPhones for our audio recordings as I get into the audio recording, and we're just making the best of the situation. Before beginning with our speakers today, I'd like to tell you about who we are and what we do. We're an independent and nonpartisan commission, which is created by the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. The Act requires that commissions like ours review electoral districts after every second provincial election. Our job is to review the area, boundaries, and names of existing electoral districts and make recommendations for change. The way we've chosen to do that this round is by first asking BC residents for their views on this topic. That is the purpose of today's and this week's meetings. After this round of public consultations, we'll publish a preliminary report with our initial recommendations. We hope to have that report done by early fall 2022, this year. After we've published the preliminary report, we will have a second round of public meetings asking for input on the proposed changes. And following that, we'll write our final report and recommendations. Of course, it will also be public. Our final report must be submitted in April 2023. Ultimately, the BC Legislative Assembly decides whether to accept all, some, or none of our recommendations. The Electoral Boundaries Commission Act explains what factors we must consider when making our recommendations. Our governing principle is representation by population. According to the Act, to achieve representation by population, we must consider, first, geographic factors such as accessibility and size, then demographic factors such as population numbers, rate of growth, and community of interest, and also means of communication and transportation within electoral districts. We must try to ensure that each electoral district is within 25% of the population average of an electoral district, and that's currently just over 57,000 people. But we can exceed this range if we consider it necessary to achieve effective representation. There are currently 87 electoral districts in British Columbia, and the Act allows us to propose up to 6 additional electoral districts for a maximum total of 93. So today, if you want to make a presentation at the meeting, you need to sign in at the registration table, which many of you already have, so that we can call on you. As I mentioned a little earlier, I'd like you to know that we are audio recording all of the public meetings, and we'll make them available on our website, which is www.bcebc.ca. If you make a presentation, your name and community will be listed with the meeting recording. If you have any questions on privacy related to the recordings, our privacy policy is on our website for more information. For consistency in the presentations throughout the province in our meetings, we've asked that presentations are limited to 10 minutes. We also encourage you to send us a copy of your presentation through our website. We do our best to take detailed notes, and at times people drop off presentations, but it's very helpful if we have all of the presentations also in electronic format. So we do encourage that you submit it as well. After we've heard from all presenters, I will close the meeting. We generally also don't take off right away after the meeting, so please feel free to come up and talk to us, unless we have so many speakers that we're completely out of time, but I'm sure we'll have some time. We're more than happy to chat with you one-on-one and answer any questions that you may have once we're over. We will now begin calling presenters. Our first presenter is Helder Ponte. And if you could come up to the table here.
I will be reading my notes, okay? I first want to thank the BC Electoral Boundaries Commission for giving me the opportunity to speak to you, to your panel today, about the potential provincial electoral boundary changes. My name is Helder Ponte, and I have been a Kootenai resident for more than 40 years. I'm a naturalized Canadian, originally from Angola. I'm a refugee, a country situated in South Central Africa. I'm retired now, but I work for the Tunahe Nation and other First Nations in BC for virtually all my professional life. In my work, I had the opportunity to travel around the regions and the province and in Canada, and of becoming keenly aware of the challenges that we face in making life better for everyone in BC and Canada. As I look at electoral boundaries, I recognize that we are facing a difficult challenge in the Kootenays. Currently, there are four constituencies in this part of the province, including Kootenay East, where I live, Kootenay West, Nelson Creston, and Columbia River Revelstoke. It is indeed likely that the populations of all of our four constituencies in this region of the province will be below the 25% deviation that is allowed in the BC Electoral Boundaries Act, as you just mentioned. Given this fact, I would offer some possible solutions to the challenges that you face, that they are still workable from a local perspective. I think that we need to look at the existing transportation links in the region as your guide if you choose to redraw electoral maps in this part of the province. In almost all cases, and with the exception of Highway 3 to the south, the main transportation links run north-south, or south-north actually, to fit the human geography and pattern of the Kootenai region. I also think that we need to consider the national geographic barriers such as mountain ranges, bodies of water, that profoundly influence and shape the location of the communities across the region. More specifically, I believe that the communities north of Cranbrook along Highway 95, including Kimberley, Fairmont, Invermere, and Radio Springs, have strong connections to those to the south in the current Kootenai East constituency, and could be grouped into a constituency in this for those communities. In addition to being linked by Highways 3 and 95, and being along the Kootenai and Columbia Rivers, these communities trade intensively with each other and share common cultural characteristics in that they are year-round recreation and tourism destinations with strong ties to Alberta. Finally, they are also all located in a distinct time zone, the mountain time zone, while the rest of the Kootenays, and indeed the rest of the province, are in Pacific time. I make these suggestions recognizing that there are no perfect solutions to the challenge you are facing. But given that you are facing, I believe this provides you with some possible options to help you with your work in moving forward. Thank you. I have a copy, so I'll give you a copy. If you have any questions, please.
Well, thank you very much for your presentation. It's very important that we do hear from people from the communities that we're visiting. The next speaker, Judy Blakely.
Thank you. I'm not sure. Is that okay? I wish to respectfully bring to the attention of the Commission that mostly using population size to determine electoral boundaries is getting to be a serious problem in all areas outside of the Fraser Valley and Victoria. Their growth is starting to encumber the rights of the rest of us in the rural BC. Landmass versus people numbers. I'm using a few main industries in our province to make my points. Those industries are wine, logging, food, tourism, mining, and oil and gas. I'm focusing on those electoral districts that are involved in those industries which are outside the Fraser Valley. All information has been taken from data from the BC government, Statistics Canada, and applicable industries. There are 5.2 million people living in BC according to the 2021 census. There were only 4 million people in 2000, a growth of 1.2 million in 20 years. 86% live in large urban centers and only 14% live in the rural areas. There are 2.54 million workers in BC, according to Stats Canada. I'm using the Surrey ridings to bring home some points because it is growing so rapidly. 500,000 in 2021. And little old Cranbrook has 20,499 people, up substantially by 450 people since the previous census. Surrey is the 12th largest city in Canada. I'm sure that for the people of Surrey, all nine ridings, and for the other ridings, making up 87 in the province, they're eating and drinking products produced from the rural communities, which would include pork, poultry, dairy, fish and seafood, organic products, beef, goat, fresh Creston asparagus, which will be ready real soon. Please feel free to ask me about the goats. Most people in the large cities are service-based industries, but rural communities are resource-dominated economies. If any of you drink BC wine, there are over 1,000 vineyards in BC, and there are 370 wineries in 2017. In addition, over 1 million visitors per year visit wineries, which generates $476 million in tourism. Also, wine exports to the rest of the world are up considerably. There are over 11,000 acres of wine grapes under cultivation in 2019. The average size of each winery is 14.72 acres. It's a $2.8 billion industry employing 12,000 people. But the vineyards are not in Vancouver and Victoria. I bet some of the tax dollars produced by our rural industries were used to build the 29 secondary schools in Surrey. I wonder how many other high schools in the Fraser Valley have no lunchroom, like our over 70-year-old high school. And, of course, hospitals in the Fraser Valley also want some of our revenues. Oil and gas mining and supports for oil and gas and mining employ 30,800 people. I wonder how many live in for Surrey. Just above the utilities industry, which has the least number of workers in any industry, is the agriculture industry, which employs 26,200 people for crops, animals, mixed farming, and support for agriculture. Unfortunately, everything produced by these small numbers of people on large tracts of land in our province contributes to our way of life. All our food travels one way or another to its destination. Just look at how full our grocery stores are. But unfortunately, the agriculture people don't actually get to decide what happens in their industry because they have very little political power. They control many acres of land but employ very few people per acre. An interesting fact is that we have been trying to convince the BC government to allow the building of an abattoir in the East Kootenays. Right now, cattle from this region are sent to Alberta in the U.S. to be fattened up into feedlots. Then they are slaughtered in the U.S. and Alberta. Then the processed meat is shipped back to retail outlets. I'm sure there must be an extra cost of shipping our cattle out than shipping the meat back. Wouldn't it be more cost-effective to fatten, slaughter, and distribute our own beef where we grow it? And now that we have a nice warm home made of wood, some food for our families, oil and gas to buy all the plastic goods we want, a car heavily laden with plastics running on one form of energy or another, we all use too much energy, How much extra do we now spend running our computers, multiple TVs, charging our phones, heating our hot tubs, all of those little things that teeny tiny little LED lights are using energy? Guess what? Now we've been isolated for 2 years due to COVID, working from home, staying away from friends and family, not attending events. Now we want to recreate ourselves. And we come to the recreation industry. So come on out to the Crestone Valley, the Kootenays, and the Columbia Valley. My home is 2.5 hours away from 8 ski resorts. Also, of the 300 golf courses in BC, almost 10% are in our area. Our prices for lift tickets and rounds of golf are also more economical than the coast. Come on out here, golf, ski, go boating, river rafting, fishing, hang gliding, try out our hot springs, play hockey, go to a hockey game. Try our wine, go windsurfing, try our hotels and fine food. Come visit us, you people from the mainland and the island. Don't forget, we have plenty of space for you all. Breathe the fresh air, admire our mountains, vermilion sunsets, and enjoy the peace and quiet of our smaller communities. Somehow this path we are on to eliminate smaller communities to be represented in government in favor of areas like Surrey is destroying us. If we continue on this path, we will have an incredible number of seats for Victoria and the Fraser Valley and one big riding for the rest of us. We contribute considerably economically to the province and to your recreation of yourselves, but we can't compete with population numbers. Geography and industry diversity must also be considered. Maybe we have been doing this all backwards. Maybe we need to increase the number of voters in each electoral area in the mainland, say up to 80 or 90,000 people, and decrease the number of voters in each of the urban ridings, say to 25,000. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a tough job ahead of you. Those of us outside of the large cities need to have our needs recognized and valued. You must realize how important the rural regions of our huge province are and how underrepresented they are in politics. Our federal riding now spans 600 kilometers from Revelsfield to Sparwood. Our MP now spends more time on the highway than meeting with people in their communities. He actually, in the last two elections, traveled more kilometers than any other candidate running for government in Canada. Please don't do this to us provincially. It takes him 6 hours to drive from Sparwood to Revelstoke, and that's one way in summer conditions. We contribute economically so much more than you realize in the mining, agriculture, transportation, food, wine, recreation, logging, coal, oil and gas, and tourism. You three must make sure that our knowledgeable people in these industries are able to be represented around the table in Victoria. It cannot continue to be mostly population without considering the economy, geography, and diverse industries. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Judy.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm not here on behalf of anybody, and the presentation I'm going to make to you is in no way partisan. I was an MLA for 16 years, but as I discussed with a previous NDP candidate in this riding, we're on the same side here, I think, in terms of presenting to this commission, so not partisan. As I said, I was an MLA for 16 years here. I'm a lifelong rural person. My wife was raised on a farm. I grew up in a town of 3,250 people, and except for 2 years where we lived in Kelowna, Cranbrook's actually the largest place we've ever lived in our 48 years of marriage. I'm also here to help you because I think that you can justify leaving the rural boundaries of those 11 ridings that exceed the 25% deviation alone. And I'm going to encourage you to do that, and I'm going to try to help you come up with or identify the reasons why you can do that and how you can do that. So let me start by describing what representation means, because I think it gets glossed over. Representation is, you know, maybe based on an assumption. A provincial MLA is responsible for everything that the province of BC has jurisdiction for under the Canadian Constitution. That means that most of the major issues that a person in BC deals with in their life are issues that a provincial MLA is likely to deal with, and I'll name just a few. Healthcare, natural resources. Natural resources, of course, includes agriculture, mining, energy, forestry, fish and wildlife, post-secondary education and training, K to 12 education, road transportation, the environment, First Nations issues. And by the way, I did provide four copies of my presentation, so you can read them before you go to sleep tonight. And I also emailed my presentation in, so maybe it'll take some of the pressure off from note-taking. So a typical week for a Kootenay East MLA, and I draw on my own experience, would be, for example, helping a woman convince the Ministry of Health to add a new drug to the province's formulary so that a dreadful skin disease on the woman's face could be controlled. True story. That's the sort of thing that you encounter. Managing a dispute between rural homeowners who draw their water from a communal creek. Finding dental services for a low-income constituent. Finding a facility for the alcoholic son of constituents in a region that doesn't have facilities for that. Driving 3 hours to Alfred to make a presentation to grade 11 students on how government works, and 3 hours back. Meeting with local hunters to strategize on how to get government's attention on wildlife management. Assisting a constituent with a workplace BC claim. Assisting a senior who is scared to death about a computer-based program that he or she is going to have to go through to keep his or her driver's license. Happens all the time. Assisting the local college in an entreaty to the BC minister responsible for funding trades training. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I wouldn't blame you if you haven't, but it costs a lot of money for a welding student or some other apprentice here to go down and finish up their training at BCIT, and that's a lot of them have to do that. The province kind of takes that for granted, but we want those young people to get that training. But that's what they have to do. Assisting local government in making the case that expensive diking along a mountain river is essential and that some of that provincial budget for diking should come here. Those are just a few things. I could go on for hours just with examples. So when the Act refers to representation, that representation consists of an awful lot more than simply getting up off your chair in the legislature to vote on something. I'm not going to say it's a minor part of your representation, but it's just part of it. Rural constituents feel estranged from Victoria, I think it's fair to say, with good reason. They are a distant minority within a huge landmass. BC is the most urban province in British Columbia, if you look at the concentration of population. Rural people need access to their MLA for help with government. If you enlarge rural ridings, you will punish a minority population in BC. I'm going to say a few words about the other factors that you're allowed to consider under the legislation, I think, like weather, distance, travel, geography, population density, and communication. So I'll start with weather. Weather is ever present for rural British Columbians. That's what we talk about the most, is the weather. With the four Kootenay ridings, an MLA can drive out from Trail or Nelson or Cranbrook or Invermere and go to an isolated community in their riding or a ranch or something or a resort in the summer. And it's a time-consuming, tedious drive in some ways, although a beautiful drive, but it's pleasant. But you try that same drive in October through May, and it's a completely different setting. It's often perilous. It's unpredictable. It's stressful. Many meetings are set and then canceled. Bad, dangerous weather distinguishes rural BC, and particularly the 11 ridings that exceed the 25% deviation. Travel and distance. In the four Kootenay ridings, our mountain passes are closed more often than any other region in BC. That comes from the Ministry of Transportation. I discovered that when I was an MLA. So our highways are more often closed in those passes than anywhere else. But on the North Coast, I had a buddy who was the MLA from Prince Rupert years ago. You have to use airplanes and boats to get to your constituents. In the Peace River ridings, in the Stikine riding, you need at least one overnight to drive across those ridings. And, I don't know if you've ever driven up Highway 37 in the Stikine riding, but if you go all the way from Smithers to Avland, it's like driving across Europe. It's when you get to Smithers, you're basically halfway up the province. So huge pieces of geography. I believe that if you make these rural ridings any bigger, it will go from nearly impossible for the MLA to serve the people in the far-flung corners of the region to completely impossible. One final perspective on travel and distance. Rural MLAs are not safe to travel during much of the year. And I don't want that to be forgotten. You have to pick your spots, you have to drive slowly, and you have to pack survival gear. It's the nature of living in rural BC. And it's one more reason to recognize that rural constituencies are already large enough and that they deserve the application of the exceptions in the legislation. Geography. Geography in BC is not simple, it's not easy, no matter where you live. However, when you factor in population density, weather, mountain passes, large lakes, the sea coast, and road conditions, geography in rural areas presents a much greater challenge for an MLA to service constituents than geography on the lower mainland or even the island. It's another common factor across rural British Columbia. Population density. When I first went to Victoria to represent East Kootenay, as naive as I was, I encountered a former high-profile lawyer from Vancouver who told me one day that people in small towns and rural areas had no right to expect the same quality of government services as urban folks because we chose to live in these sparsely populated areas. It was kind of like we decided to live on the moon, so why should we expect oxygen? I reminded him that my constituents and other rural people in BC extract the steelmaking coal and minerals that employ thousands at the Vancouver ports and railways. Metallurgical coal is the single largest product in terms of haulage in British Columbia. We keep the ports and the railroads pretty busy, and like I say, thousands of jobs. Rural people grow and send food to the city. They harvest the trees and mill the lumber and the other wood products that are sent for construction in the city. The Kootenay-Columbia region provides slightly less than half the electricity to the lower mainland, with the Peace region providing most of the rest. So just because a family decides to live in Elkford or Nacusp or Smithers or Pouce Coupe or Fort Nelson or Fraser Lake, these people deserve strong representation of the government, and their lives and their jobs enable, in my opinion, the dense populations that you have in large cities. Communication. After 2 years of all of us meeting on our computer screens, it would be easy for someone to say, well, the MLA in Fort St. John just can Zoom with his constituents or her constituents in Fort Nelson. That makes me think of Marie Antoinette in the French Revolution and let them eat cake. It's that kind of a comment. Dismissing geography, weather, population density, travel, personal safety of MLAs by simply saying, let them use a computer to meet, in my view, is elitist and anti-democratic.
Just interrupt for a second. We're just going to need you to wrap up in the next 30 seconds or so.
All right. I'm just going to close with what I told people for 20 years was the most important issue in rural British Columbia. People would ask me that. I traveled all over the province, and I would say the most important issue to rural BC is actually the loss of political power. You think about it. There isn't an electric car or a cell phone anywhere in the lower mainland without minerals mined outside the city. We produce the bulk of BC's clean electricity. We send the oil and the gas to Vancouver, the food to Vancouver, the wood products to the city. We maintain the provincial parks. We account for a very large share of BC exports. We manage the fish and the wildlife. We have the resorts. But all of the policies that prescribe how these assets are either protected or exploited or managed are made by people who largely do not live where these assets and activities are located. And that's what I mean by the loss of political power. It means that when you live in rural BC, you actually don't have that much control over what is happening where you live. So all the decisions are made by a majority of MLAs. Fair enough, that's democracy. But they don't live in the areas where the decisions actually come to life. So I'm not suggesting that you forget about your rep by pop principle. You can't and you shouldn't. I'm not suggesting that rural BC is somehow more important than urban BC, but what I am suggesting to you is that the 75% of BC's landmass that encompasses those 11 rural ridings that exceed the 25% is part of a community of interest. Rural BC is a community of interest. It is a separate minority of people that have shared some shared values, but a lot of things in common And at the end of the day, folks, we're talking about 11 ridings out of 93. And I hope you will leave the boundaries of all rural ridings exactly as they are today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for submitting a lot of information in there, so thank you for submitting it already electronically. Our next speaker will be Helen Barron, or Barrow?
Barron.
Barron. Barron.
Good afternoon. As you know, my name is Helen Barron. I'm the Executive Director of the Cranbrook Chamber of Commerce, and I'm here today representing the Cranbrook, Creston, Fernie, Columbia Valley, and Sparwood Chambers of Commerce. The Cranbrook Chamber alone directly represents over 400 businesses and impacts over 1,500 businesses in Cranbrook and the surrounding area. The Cranbrook Chamber of Commerce was established in 1910 and has been a voice of business for over 100 years. Before I begin, I would like to acknowledge that the Cranbrook Chamber conducts its business on the traditional territory of the Tanaha peoples. 60% of residents in the Kootenays live within municipal boundaries, while 40% live in unincorporated areas. This makes the Kootenay region one of the most rural areas in British Columbia, second to the North Coast and the Nechako region. The Kootenay region, including East Kootenay, Central Kootenay, and the Kootenay boundary, covers a large area with differing climates and different geographical features. While there are common employers across the Kootenay region, the diversity in this area is immense. For example, Cranbrook has a large forestry sector, but if you were to drive an hour either north or south, you will find a large mining sector in Fernie and Sparwood, and a large farming, orchard, and ranching sector in Creston. You can most likely imagine that the common values across these industries will be largely different. Amplify this to the entire Kootenay region, and you have a large area of diverse concerns and values in need of representation. Our economic contribution. Tech Resources Limited operations produces $4.6 billion to British Columbia's GDP from their Elk Valley operations alone. They contribute $1.3 billion to labour income in BC and $600 million to BC's government revenues. This is a large amount of GDP coming from a very small area in our province. Skookumchuck Pulp Mill, located 35 minutes north of Cranbrook, employs 280 full-time employees, supports 1,000 indirect jobs in the province of British Columbia, and makes an annual economic contribution of $400 million. These two examples only partially represent the economic contribution from our region, not even taking into account our rapidly growing tourism economy. As you mentioned at the beginning of your speech today, that this commission is directed to apply the principle of representation by population. The idea that everyone's vote should be weighed equally, so every MLA should be elected by roughly the same number of voters. Based on the population of British Columbia, the Electoral Boundaries Act allows this commission up to 93 ridings. Again, I know I'm repeating some things that have been said. The current population of BC is 5,879,000, so if we divide this number by 93, we arrive at a quotient of 57,481, which is more people than almost any rural riding in BC. The Act allows this commission to deviate from that quotient by 25%, as you mentioned, if there are geographic, accessibility, demographic considerations, and/or communities of interest. This commission can also factor in sparsity, density, or rate of growth, plus how difficult transportation and communication are in a riding. The population of Kootenay East is currently 44,403, a 23% deviation. It is the suggestion of the Cranbrook Chamber and the other chambers I am representing here today that this commission allow the deviation to continue. Cranbrook, as many other areas in the East Kootenays, is currently experiencing a surge in people moving to us from Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and the Lower Mainland. The Chamber foresees a continued increase in the populations of many of the communities in our region. From a Chamber perspective, this means increasing opportunities for businesses in our region and more voices for our organization to represent. In relationship to electoral boundaries, this means more voices for our MLA to represent in an already economically and geographically diverse area with transportation limitations and seasonal travel barriers. Based on the steady growth we are experiencing in our region, Chambers of Commerce represented here today contend that a change to our electoral boundaries would be counterintuitive to the needs of our current respective ridings. Due to the Kootenay region's vast mountain ranges, travel times can be long. Often a person will have to travel around a mountain range or through a mountain pass, oftentimes on windy or slippery roads. For example, Cranbrook to Crawford Bay as the crow flies is approximately 78 kilometers. Due to the mountain range, the driving distance is 182 kilometers. The increase in travel time to reach constituents will be vastly increased if ridings are combined, impacting access to residents across the region. There are a handful of airports in the regions, many of which only fly to major cities such as Calgary and Vancouver. While the focus is not to discuss the lack of transport and options in our region, there is a greater barrier for our MLAs to reach the rural communities as well as access the legislature in Victoria due to these barriers. If ridings were combined, the barriers would only increase. If Kootenay East was larger, our one MLA would not be able to provide the link to government and the service that is barely possible now, given our scattered population and diverse geography. You may or may not be aware of the difference between how rural small-town people use their MLA and how this is quite different in larger centres. In towns like Fernie, Invermere and Cranbrook, it is customary for people to take their problems to the local MLA and ask for assistance. These problems, in the case of business owners, can cover a wide array of issues, including transportation, healthcare, taxes, regulation and education. Whereas the average citizen of Surrey might never consider looking up their MLA, and in fact is likely to not even know who their MLA is. Our citizens know their MLA and regularly ask their MLA for assistance. The MLA in Kootenay East is extremely busy, and frankly, the MLA cannot handle more territory or more people. In conclusion, our region provides a strong positive contribution to BC's economy through industry contribution across an extremely geographically diverse and challenging area. We currently fit within the allowable deviation to the quotient, and we only expect that deviation to decrease with the continued population growth we are experiencing. MLAs in the Kootenays must constantly work with barriers to travel brought on by lack of transportation, rugged landscapes, and unpredictable, volatile weather conditions. Increasing the area covered by our ridings would be highly detrimental to the ability of our MLAs to effectively represent our ridings and ensure that the substantial economic contribution of our region not be hampered through a lack of representation. I strongly urge this Commission to take what I have said here today in account when making its decisions. Thank you for your time and for the work you are doing.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Randall McNair.
I don't know why I have these. I can't read with them. I really need to drive, though. I'd like to recognize that we're gathered here on the traditional territory of the Tanakha Amakas, and I come to you from Kukan Amakas, which is the Elk Valley. By way of background, I spent 15 years in local government as mayor and councillor for the city of Fernie, including 12 years as director and alternate director at the regional district of East Kootenay. I don't have as formal a presentation as some of the previous presenters. I'm interested in this process. I've followed your process over the years, and I'd like to impart some information to help you make your decision, which I don't envy you in, but I trust you to make the decision that's best for all of British Columbia. I'm not going to go too deeply into some of the things that my dear friend Bill Bennett made, but I think that the challenge of rural representation is going to be one of your biggest ones, and the importance of maintaining healthy rural representation, I think, is a really key decision. And Bill alluded to the fact that maintaining confidence in government and confidence in representation is a really critical piece of that. But I also recognize that you have a role in maintaining democracy in a proportional way. So your work is not easy. I want to talk a little bit about the culture of the East Kootenay and the relationships between our communities. The community I come from, Fernie, where I've lived for over 25 years now, has undergone dynamic change in that 25 years, from literally being a coal mining town, and we're still thankfully a coal mining town, but one that also includes recreation and resort development. What we've really seen, and Fernie is a little bit ahead of the curve of places like Kimberley, Golden, Invermere, Radium, What we've seen in this cultural shift has been amplified in the last 2 years, and these smaller rural communities are becoming more and more desirable as places to live, Rosslyn, Nelson, etc. And so while proportionally we may be shrinking, I'm not sure if that's going to bear out into the future. Fernie, the last time you came through was a community of 4,400 people. The last census, which was taken almost exactly a year ago, 6,400 people. My community has grown 42% in the last 10 years. Radium in the last 5 years grew over 50%. Kimberley is lower than Fernie, but similar. Invermere is similar as similar as well. And I think that's a trend that we're going to be seeing in our province and literally throughout throughout much of the world as people retreat from high prices and the pressures of cities, and the technologies that's been offered to us give us opportunities to live further away from quote unquote where we work. So if you look at a community like Fernie, our core is Cranbrook, and I'm going to diverge. I'm going to give you a bit of information that I think would be valuable if you make the unpleasant decision of reducing the number of MLAs here. But culturally, when you represent an area, a community, a riding, the maintaining some similar interests throughout the communities that you represent, I think has benefit. And so if you look at Fernie, people are leaving Fernie. Where are they going to? They're going to Kimberley because it's less expensive, but the culture is similar. The these are younger communities that are growing and changing, and people are moving there for recreational opportunities. Invermere is the same, and I think it was Mr. Ponte that talked about the natural geographic boundaries heading up the Columbia Valley, sitting on the board of the regional district. It's Fernie, Sparwood, Elkford, Cranbrook, Kimberley, Invermere, Radium, Golden. You know where it is, and you see that natural boundary. You know, the issues around this boundary actually go, and this is a total aside, the northwest flow of the rivers was what really brought activity, the national attention to this part of the world, because Americans were coming up via the rivers. And the entrail on, I think, 1892 federal election, the only person that could vote was the electoral officer, because he had, was an American who had taken out Canadian citizenship to take that job. That's a total aside, but we are defined by our geography. And again, Helen spoke about that, and Bill talked about the challenges of representing communities with respect to the travel issue of that. But the reality is, for instance, Kimberley and Cranbrook are in separate ridings, yet those two communities are integrally linked from an economic and cultural standpoint. We have, in the Elk Valley, we have connections to our friends in Invermere, Radium, etc. So I'm not going to... that's, from a government standpoint, that's actually interestingly defined. There's 13 or 14 resort communities in this in the province, and fully five of them are in the East Kootenay: Fernie, Golden, Invermere, Radium, and Kimberley. And so you can see there's that that commonality in transition from solely resource extraction to resort recreation, and now who knows what. Our communities are going to be populated by people who are working the tree all over the world. That is the case now, and that is going to be the case increasingly so. And I think that's going to bring growth and change to our communities that need to be taken into consideration by the work that you're doing. So that was a bit of a ramble off the top of my head. I'm I really appreciate you coming here. Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody who's presented.
Our next speaker will be Faye Street.
Can I get some water? It's drying.
Howdy. I want to give you all a very warm welcome from my family and thank you for coming to our beautiful part of this province. We appreciate your participation in this commission as this is an extremely important issue that affects all citizens. My family lives on a ranch just south of here, out behind beautiful Mount Baker. We drive a very badly kept Gold Creek Road to get to anywhere from our ranch. We are on a very thin edge of the internet service, and since we are off-grid, we don't have a regular telephone line. Our cell service is very much dependent on if there is or is not a cloud over Mount Baker. This makes communications difficult and at times extremely frustrating, to say the least. We are and have always been very involved with politics in this great province. We work closely with our MLAs and our MPs. To have the offices of both representatives here in Cranbrook is vital to our working relationships. Face-to-face and one-on-one meetings with our representatives is very important, and to expect people to travel long distances to meet is very unfair. As you know, we have 5 to 6 months of winter, as other speakers have alluded to here, in the Kootenays, and this creates extremely hazardous road conditions much of the time. Travel is not only very inconvenient, but also dangerous and sometimes impossible. A lot of the people think that politics is a dirty word, but many of us know that it, and we clearly understand that governments affect every one of our lives, every single day of our life. Sometimes for the good, and sometimes for the bad. Staying politically involved and encouraging our next generation to get and stay involved is oftentimes a very difficult challenge. Making access to our representatives as efficient and effective as possible is imperative to bringing in our next generation. We are asking you, the Commission, to please carefully consider we, the hardworking rural folks, when you make your recommendations. My family is and has been for generations part of the food producing industry. Easy access to our representatives is extremely important. Many times it seems to us that much of our hard work, our huge capital investments, and our struggles with Mother Nature go unrecognized and or ignored by governments. This means that we constantly struggle to meet with and encourage our MLAs and our MPs to understand the urgency of supporting such an extremely important industry. We don't have to tell any of you that with our present situation in the world today, food production is going to become increasingly vital to the survival of many. We clearly understand that many of the ridings in the Lower Mainland need and deserve fair representation. Very important to note, however, if the access to our MLAs is restricted, the Lower Mainland citizens will feel that negative effect through the gap in our food chain. This is our story here in the Kootenays, and you can multiply that by 1,000 when you consider the rural and sometimes isolated food producers throughout this province. In conclusion, we make a very strong appeal to this commission. Please do not make it more difficult for us to stay in close contact with those that are making the provincial decisions that affect us all. Please do not do that. I totally agree with Mr. Bennett. Leave it alone. Thank you for your attention. And again, we want to express our extreme appreciation for the time that you're taking away from your families to travel the province and gather this information. Having said that, I don't think you could find a more beautiful province to tour, so I hope you enjoy every single day. We wish you safe travels, good food, enjoyable new friends, and please always remember, if you eat, you're involved in agriculture. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's, as I probably already mentioned, it is so valuable for us to hear just personal stories as well as bigger picture situations too, so thank you. Our next speaker is Randy Ray or Rary.
Good afternoon, and I too would like to welcome you to this beautiful part of the province. I guess the whole province is beautiful, isn't it? First of all, I was intending to begin my presentation with a question, but as you introduced yourselves and your purpose, it became evident to me that you were nonpartisan for sure, and my presentation was more geared to anticipating a more politically diverse panel. And so I have to apologize for that. And as a retired school teacher, there is no excuse for not having done my homework better. But I do believe that it is really important that we look at some of the situations that exist in our province. And so by way of background, I have lived in the same, on the same ranch for 70 years. I taught school as well as continue to serve as a rancher. I have a deep love for this part of the province and recognize the importance of agriculture, and it becomes more and more important, I think, that we recognize local food production is incredibly important. And in British Columbia, we don't have very much agricultural land, and so agriculture needs to be remembered as an important part of our province. I would just like to mention that as by way of background, I served as a regional district director for 17 years, and in that capacity attended a number of UBCM conventions. It was that experience that taught me in British Columbia nearly all issues become politicized, and rural BC has been fighting a losing battle for a long time. I accept that your commission is nonpartisan and you have a challenging task at hand, but I also know that your recommendations will become very political. So I encourage you to remember the story of David and Goliath as you deliberate the fate of our underpopulated rural communities. And so I would like to ask you a question. I don't expect you to answer, but do you really believe rural British Columbians are overrepresented? There is a reason for the old saying, there is no hope beyond hope, that still rings true to so many British Columbians who live outside the Lower Mainland. We are not stupid. We understand that the rural population of this huge province, which is over three times the size of Great Britain, is smaller than the population of the Lower Mainland. And we are also smart enough to know and understand that the vast majority of the wealth generated in this province comes from rural British Columbia. And that wealth supports and sustains the jobs and industries that exist in the Lower Mainland. Rural British Columbia punches far above our weight. And it is about time that the government of British Columbia and the residents of the Lower Mainland understand that. Let me give you an example of how forgotten we have become. I've been a lifelong member of Kootenai Livestock Association, which is the largest agricultural organization in the Kootenays. It is a good organization, which has worked hard on behalf of livestock and agricultural producers and has attracted nearly every minister of agriculture and every minister of forests, as well as every premier except the current one, Premier Horgan. Since Premier Horgan's government took office, it has been nearly impossible to get any attention for rural British Columbia. 2.5 years ago, Kootenai Livestock had some pressing issues. We needed the Minister of Agriculture's help. The minister, Lana Popham, who is still the minister, was contacted but claimed she was too busy to come to the Kootenays. But if we would send a delegation, she would meet with us for an hour and a half. So we sent a delegation of four, and it had to be at our expense. The minister met, claimed to be interested, said she understood and would respond to our concerns quickly. 2.5 years later, and several inquiries later, we are still waiting for that response. British Columbia is a very politically divided province. The vast majority of rural British Columbia is represented by BC Liberals, while the majority of municipalities are represented by members of the NDP, which is, of course, our government. It is entirely possible that we can coexist, and it is important that we do work together from those different philosophical backgrounds to make our province the best that it can be. So, Commission members, please remember that as you look at these issues, if you take away the MLAs from these large rural areas, you'll be taking away from our fisheries and our water. You'll be taking away our timber resource from our timber resources. You'll be taking away from our mines. You'll be taking away from our farms, and you'll be taking away from natural gas and oil and many others. And what do you have left? Not very much. I think it's all important for all of us to remember that these resources are found in rural British Columbia. We deserve more representation and influence, not less. If the two local constituencies were amalgamated, it would be a travesty and it would be a terrible injustice. And it would indicate that we don't matter and the government doesn't care. Please stand up for British Columbia. You can't do much without us. One final point, please. We have, over the past 2 years, thrown away billions of tax dollars, taxpayers' dollars, to pay people to stay at home, to pay their rent and other living expenses in the name of a health emergency. And we are going to quibble over a few hundred thousand dollars needed to pay the current number of rural MLAs whose already huge constituencies need to be represented. That seems pretty foolish to me. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
And thank you for your time. That concludes the speakers that I have on my list here. Have we had any? Is there anyone else that didn't previously sign up as a speaker and would like to make a presentation at this time? Seeing none, I thank you for your presentations and your input today. The audio recordings will be available on our website next week. If you have more information that you would like us to consider or know others who would like to participate, once again, our website's the best place to do that at www.bcebc.ca. We are also holding virtual public meetings after each week in a region that we're visiting. The next virtual meeting will be Monday, April the 11th. This at 5:00 Pacific time, 6:00 Mountain time. You can go to the website and register for that. We've had two of those sessions so far, and they've been fairly well attended, and the opportunity to present just in the same manner here. It works well for those that would like to make a presentation but couldn't fit it into the schedule for our meetings today. So pass the word if you know of anyone in that situation. And once more, thanks to all of you for coming very much, and we will be remaining here for a short period of time, or a period of time, if you would like to come up and talk to any of us individually or together. Thanks again.